Welcome to the Houston Personal Injury Lawyer Podcast with attorney R.J. Alexander, sponsored by R.J. Alexander Law, PLLC, the small law firm of Big Solutions, headquartered in Houston, Texas. This show discusses Texas personal injury law and the effects that it can have on an injury victim, what you should do if you are injured by the negligence, carelessness, or intentional wrongdoing of another person or entity, and how you can best assist your attorney in winning your case. This podcast does not create an attorney-client privilege, and in the event that you are injured, you should contact the firm directly. This podcast is not a substitute for direct legal advice. It is purely informational. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. This is Rashard Alexander from R.J. Alexander Law, PLLC. Here today, the topic of discussion is going to be the 11 essential emergency items for your car. That's right, the 11 essential emergency items for your car. Things that you should have in your car no matter what. Because sometimes you get injured in, about, or around your car. It's not necessarily a car accident always that leads to an injury, of course. But you should have these things in your car in the event that you are injured in a car wreck or a car collision or an automobile collision for that matter. So I'm just going to go down the list of these 11 things, give them to you real quick. Maybe you can review them, check and see if you have them in your car. And I'm going to provide you a bonus thing if you can hang with me to the end of the podcast. So it won't be very long, but let's go ahead and get started. The first thing that you should have in any car that you ever drive, in any truck, possibly on your motorcycle or bicycle as well, is a first aid kit. Now, obviously, the size will vary depending on the type of vehicle and passengers or occupants that you'll have in the vehicle, but you should have a first aid kit for sure in your vehicle. You're going to need it because the reality is that it may take the EMS services or the fire truck services or the law enforcement officer some time to arrive on the scene and to diagnose exactly what is happening or what's going wrong with you. But if someone's bleeding profusely from the scene, you need something, a tourniquet, or you need to be able to do something to help this person last or endure the pain until actual medical services arrive on the scene. So you should always have a first aid kit available in your car. Number two, you should have a flashlight. Now, we ride in Houston. There are a lot of rural areas around Houston. Some of them are actually in the city of Houston. And, you know, we ride on a lot of highways as well. And so you want to make sure that you have a proper flashlight in your vehicle at all times, just in case your tire blows out, you need to change the tire, it's a dark, you know, it's dark on the side of the road, and that is an essential thing, a flashlight. Now, the type of flashlight that I would recommend is a mag light. A mag light you can purchase at any Target, Walmart. Well, I don't know if you can get it at Target. I'm pretty sure you should be able to find one at Walmart. And if not, of course, you can always order this stuff on Amazon. Obviously, that's the age we live in, so you can order a lot of this stuff on Amazon. But I would get a mag light. It's really bright. It's the flashlight that most police officers, I don't know if they still carry a mag light, but a lot of them did when I was in my 20s. So that's the one I would urge you to get. It's a really bright light and it can shine for a very far distance, so you can see if something is walking up on you or if there's a snake in the grass or whatever have you. You thought you heard a weird sound, that flashlight will take care of you. Plus, if you're having to deal with some issue of trying to fight back some type of animal or something, that flashlight is heavy enough where it can deal a severe blow to whatever is trying to assault you. The third thing is water. Now, I wouldn't say carry around, you know, like a 24-pack of water in the back of your car. That's kind of silly. But you should carry some type of water bottle or something like that that you can hold water in, just because you never know, you know, how far you are out from civilization. If you drive in rural areas, You might be dehydrated. You might need it to wash off a wound. It could be a use in multiple circumstances. So you should definitely have at least a bottle of water in the car. The fourth thing is a small weather radio. I say a small weather radio because, hey, we live in Houston. The reality is that we're going to deal with floods and hurricanes for the foreseeable future. Given that we're going to be dealing with hurricanes and floods, if you are ever trapped in a situation where, you know, the power and everything is off at your house and your car won't start, or the battery and the electrical power in your car is not functioning, that small weather radio might be the only thing that tells you exactly what is happening around you and can direct you to where you can receive services or help in the event of an emergency. So the fourth thing is a small weather radio. The fifth thing is something that every car, every vehicle pretty much comes standard with these days, and that is your spare tire, a tire jack, tire iron. Some people that drive older cars, you know, they may use their spare and never actually, they may end up puncturing the spare while it's on the vehicle, so they may need another one, and they just have never got around to doing it. Well, you need a spare tire, and you need a tire jack and a tire iron. Now, I was going to go into exactly how to change a tire. Maybe that's something that we'll talk about at another time. What I will say, basically, is that, you know, it's very similar on how to change a tire, regardless of the type of car or wheel that you're dealing with. I mean, obviously, if you have a rim on it, you know, it's going to be a little different than if you have a hubcap. But the general premise or the general idea is that you remove the lug nuts with the tire iron after jacking up the car properly. Now, when you place that jack on the bottom of the car, you always want to make sure that you're placing the jack on a part of the car where the body is, it's solid car body. You know, you don't want to put it on a piece of metal under the body where that metal is easily malleable or it's easy to bend. That could be a problem for you in the future. Obviously, if you put that jack on a part that on a part of the car where it's going to bend, once you jack that car up, it's more likely to fall on you or fall on the caliper and the rotor once you've removed the actual tire from, you know, the rotor. So you want to make sure that you buy another jack stand. What I do is I usually go to Pep Boys or AutoZone. Well, I already have several jacks, but you can go to Pep Boys or AutoZone, buy like a $20 jack. It's much more solid. Generally, it's like a little gray one the red lever, and it's a much more stable one, that stable jack stand, than the one that's usually sold along with your car. So you can use those in conjunction. That's what I would do. But the one that you would buy from AutoZone, it definitely will hold everything in place, and you don't have to worry about having another emergency or an injury situation on top of having to deal with a car wreck or something of that nature. So the fifth thing would be a jack stand for the spare tire, tire jack, tire iron. The sixth thing is fix-a-flat. I mean, everybody knows what fix-a-flat is at this point. If you don't know, it's basically a solution that goes inside the wheel well of your car or the tire, and it finds that that puncture and basically seals it. Now, it's not meant for you to drive forever on a tire that has fix-a-flat. It's just to get you to the tire shop so they can either determine whether it needs to be patched or the tire needs to be replaced. The one thing that I will say about fix-a-flat is that with fix-a-flat, you always want to try to buy the bigger version of fix-a-flat. So, you know, if you have a smaller car, but, you know, you have some type of special wheels on it or tires, and you think that you may need the bigger version, it doesn't hurt to get the bigger version of fix-a-flat, okay? You should always kind of, you know, lean towards getting the bigger size when it comes to the fix-a-flat. So that's the sixth thing, fix-a-flat. All right. The seventh thing, one of my favorites, is getting the correct type of tire iron. Now, I understand that all cars do come with a tire iron attached with a spare tire and all that type of stuff. And if you don't know what a tire iron is, it's basically when if you've ever seen someone change a tire, they'll put a piece of like a little metal portion that attaches to the lug nut, and it has a metal rod that kind of runs alongside of the tire. And it'll usually be about the same size as the half of the tire circumference. And so what you'll do is you put your foot on it and push it down, and it takes the lug nuts off. Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of those types of tire irons simply because a variety of things can go wrong, okay, when you're dealing with a tire iron like that. It's late at night, and, you know, you're using a hubcap to keep all your lug nuts together. What I recommend is buying the tire iron that looks like a little Celtic cross, or maybe like a little silver X is probably the best way to describe it for the most people. It looks like a little silver X, and it allows you to be able, instead of you putting your foot down on it and pressing down it and applying pressure that way, which, I mean, you know, your leg is the strongest muscle in your body, so that's probably not a bad way. But the thing about it is you don't have total control or total torque. Torque control is not being properly delivered to that lug nut. When you have that X tire iron, you're basically using your hands or your arms, and you're turning the lug nut, and it's going to stay in place. So I like this tire iron because it provides the proper amount of torque. You're less likely to break the lug nut when you're removing it, and you're less likely to lose it because it usually will stay in place when you're spinning that. You spin this tire iron around in place. Once you break that seal initially, you just kind of spin it around until it'll come off. And usually when you remove it, it will still be in place on that tire iron, and you can just kind of pull it out and put it over there with the rest of the lug nuts. So I like that one much better than the tire iron that comes with the car usually. The eighth thing is jumper cables. Okay, now that's common sense. I mean, you can get some jumper cables from Family Dollar for like $5 or something like that. I always urge people to get the jumper cables that are actually, they light up on both ends. I forgot. I should have probably looked up the names of them before I jumped on here. But just look for the jumper cables that actually light up when you touch both terminals. Those are probably the best and the safest jumper cables to use. Now, obviously, if you're going to be driving great distances or you're going to be driving in isolated areas, you probably want to have a battery booster, a self-charging battery booster in your car as well, because you don't know how long it may take for someone to arrive out there on the scene or to pass you or be a good Samaritan and actually help you out and help you jump your car. So if you're driving out in rural areas or you just don't want to deal with having to wait for someone to be nice to you, then you should buy your own emergency battery booster. All right. The ninth thing is the car manual. Now, your car manual, everyone is like, okay, yeah, sure. The car manual comes with the car. We already have a car manual. And that's great. I'm not talking about that car manual. You should keep that car manual, but that's not the one I'm talking about. The one that you should buy every time you buy a new car or a car that is new to you is the Haynes Automobile Manual. Now, the Haynes Automobile Manual is great for a variety of reasons. Number one, if something goes wrong with your car, you can't figure out what's going on with it. When you take it to a dealership or a mechanic and they say, oh, you know, you'll need a new converter or whatnot. And you can go back, look at the manual, see what that is, see how it's replaced, see how it's taken off and everything. And you'll know what to look for when you get your car back to know that they actually did the work that they said that they were going to do. Some people, on the other hand, will actually try to fix their cars themselves. And so they may use YouTube or something in conjunction with that. Well, YouTube may show you, you know, gave you a 10-minute snippet on how this person is replacing this car. But a lot of times they may leave out details on exactly the tools and everything they use to do that. The Haynes Automobile Manual gives you a step-by-step walkthrough of how to fix your car or troubleshoot your vehicle if it just cuts off or anything of that nature. So the Haynes Automobile Car Manual is a godsend. You have to buy it when you buy a new car. Number 10 is WD-40. WD-40, everyone knows what WD-40 is. It's the wonder lubricant for cars. So I definitely recommend you buy WD-40, all right? Number 11 is kind of a two-part deal. You need to buy you some duct tape. Because, you know, this duct tape is just a wonder tape when it comes to taking care of the insides of cars or whatnot, or getting you from A to B if the car is malfunctioning. And you need to have a small toolkit. I would say the duct tape should just go into the small toolkit. Every person in this day and age should have some type of small toolkit inside their car. It doesn't even cost that much. I mean, maybe 10 to 20 bucks, but just a small toolkit inside of your car so that if something needs to be replaced, if someone arrives on the scene to help you and they say, oh, well, this is all that needs to be done. Well, if you don't have the tools to be able to do it, you're going to be relying on this other person to have the exact tool you need to help you. You need to carry your own toolbox, okay? This is a small one. It doesn't have to be anything huge, but you can go to AutoZone or Pep Boys, one of these Napa Auto Parts, one of these body shops, or, I mean, automotive body shops, parts and whatnot, and get a small toolkit. And that was number 11. So the bonus is a AAA membership. Everyone should have a AAA membership or something similar to that, simply because it gives you, I think, 3 free tows over the course of a year, depending on what your plan is. It's just the smartest thing to have for someone that lives inside the city and you need to get around. I urge people to get a AAA membership mostly because of the fact that if your car breaks down and you have to have a tow truck driver come out and tow your car, you're opening yourself up to a whole host of other problems as far as the amount of time that your car will actually stay there at that tow shop, because a lot of places will say, well, no, we got to tow it to our body shop. That's our policy or whatnot. A lot of them don't like to tow the car to your house, you know, which is the smarter thing to always do, is to have them tow it to your house first before you decided to take it straight to a body shop, unless you already have in mind the people you know that you want to work on your car. So, like I said, those are the top 11 essential emergency items for your car. You know, and I threw in a bonus one as well. The other thing that you may want to take in your car, which would make some sense too, just for safety wise, so this is another bonus, is maybe some type of flare or some type of emergency cones, like 3 emergency cones or flags that you can set up in front of your car if you're on the side of the road to let people know that, hey, this car is out of commission. Drive slower, use caution so you don't fly by here and hit me while I'm changing my tire or trying to find out what's wrong with my car. So, you know, that should help you as well. So once again, this is Rashard Alexander from RJ Alexander Law PLLC, the Houston car accident lawyer, helping heal Houston one case at a time, hoping that you have a great, wonderful day. And we're going to sign off and we'll see you again tomorrow, same time. Thank you for tuning in to the Houston Personal Injury Lawyer Podcast with attorney RJ Alexander, sponsored by RJ Alexander Law, PLLC, the small law firm with big solutions, headquartered in Houston, Texas.